All right, Dylan. Well, thanks for your time today. I'm honored to lock arms with you in a coaching conversation. And we've already had some pre-background conversation before hitting record. And so it's also a precursor, and I'll just say it again. But we're just here playing, right? Like I think so many times in this coaching mentality or receiving coaching, we get in this overwhelming perfectionist mindset, right? Like, oh, I've got to sit here and perform, and you've got to perform, right? So maybe we just sit, receive, whatever this conversation unfolds to be. So I'm gonna throw out two game options. Okay, here's first game based on our previous conversation. I can help you get any client in the next 30 days. Or unlock your limitless potential in the next 90 days. Which game do you want to play?
I mean, I gotta go with the limitless potential because then the gates will be open.
All right. Tell me what the sound was about when you first heard me pitch those two games. So you kind of were like, huh.
Like the sigh. Well, probably because I'm overthinking it already. But I thought that one, I love scenario questions. And two, any client, I was immediately thinking like, oh, who the heck would I choose? And then, thinking about the language around limitless potential and doing some of that work with others as well, thinking about all right, let's see what that means. Let's see what that looks like.
Sure. So you get to the end of 90 days and you call me back up, text me, leave me a voice memo, shoot me on LinkedIn, however it happens. What would you say has happened at the end of the 90 days, Dylan?
I think the first thing is mindset. And like I just know that there's some certain narratives I'm constantly rehashing, struggling with. There's some just limiting beliefs that like I have enough self-awareness to point some of these things out. Like it'll never get any better than this is one soundtrack. You can name the limiting belief, but then like not have the ability sometimes to like replace it, with something. Along with that, kind of just general encouragement, like because I'm feeling stuck, discouraged, frustrated, it's always helpful to connect with other like-minded but also believers. And have that kind of outside perspective and that like infusion of hope. I think then the second thing after mindset would be, like a step by step kind of roadmap piece. What is the next best step? I think those are two big things anyway that come to mind.
Okay. If you were going to unpack it in a story format, what would the story be?
Well, there's a quote, I probably can't remember it now, but I use it a lot in my own life. And trying to work with other people, it's like too many people, in this case being me, are hurried, frustrated, like lacking potential, and along comes, kind of the outside perspective, like the guide. They talk about that in StoryBrand. And so the story is that, I'm here, and here right now looks like I don't know how to make this thing happen. In my case, ramping up this business. And the guide, so to say, would be able to be somebody a little bit further down the road, has that ability, has some success, has done it, and does all those things I was just talking about. It is encouragement. It is like practical stuff. It is like accountability, those types of things. And then the end of the story is that, for me personally anyway, that I'm able to add income and impact through, the gifts that I believe God has given me, so I can multiply that. It's like a ripple effect to others, right? And so I think that's part of the end of the story, is that, like, yeah, I'm actually seeing the fruit of the investment. And like right now, I think maybe a little more color to the story is that I have a lot of, we talked a little bit about marketing, for example. Like, I understand story brand, for example. I understand a lot of these, a lot of marketing. Again, it's easy to help other people, but feeling stuck in my own, like I'm walking in cement, and whatever another analogy you could think of. Anyway, so I don't want to make this too long of a story, but that's the basics.
Sure. No, that's good. That's good. So you shared some knowledge before we even got started about a LinkedIn post around this idea about mindset that resonated with you. Would you say more about it was bitterness, resentment, some of those emotions? Say more about those emotions and what was resonating with you in that LinkedIn post.
Yeah, I remember in the post that it talked about this idea of leaders, and a big challenge is this idea of being half-hearted, I think is what the term you used. And for me, it brings up a lot of different ideas. Half-hearted being, like, if you think about a biblical analogy, is the Bible talks about being a double-minded man. And what does that equal? Unstable in all his ways, right? And for me, it's not like there's not like a bunch of sin issues necessarily. It's
Sure.
more, but envy is a sin issue, certainly. Pride, those types of things. Frustration, which turns into anger. So I guess those are all sin issues. But bitterness, resentment, and hidden aspirations is kind of what you unpacked a little bit in the LinkedIn post. And I've been really seeing, like, these roots of this roots of bitterness, comparison, envy in my life more and more, and tracing it back through some of, like, family background. I could see some traces there. I've also been in, like, Old Testament, like Kings, Chronicles, and just seeing these generational things, and I think that's been shedding some light on it as well. I think that the bitterness and envy turns into resentment. And so last year I took, like, social media off my phone, right? As like I just didn't need that to add fuel to the fire. Also, personality. I think there's a temperament and a personality thing here as well. So I'm wired as a, if you're familiar with Giant, I'm wired as a creative pioneer connector. If you're, I think you use Enneagram as well. So I think this will resonate. I'm an Enneagram 4, and with a pretty strong 3 wing. And all those things kind of helped me see, like, ideation, vision. I like big ideas. I like purpose. Those are all really powerful things and awesome. And actually, your third thing on this list is aspirations, hidden aspirations, right? And I do a lot of, I've done, like, a lot of talks on this because I've wrestled with it personally. I spoke at a Christian entrepreneurs conference on essentially both the blessing and the curse of vision. I've probably been speaking on it because I'm, wrestling through it all myself. And so those words kind of, jumped out at the page at me, because it really hit into, three areas that I certainly see are like shadow sides, like to my heart and soul. And so I think those are some reasons why it's resonated.
Thanks, Dylan, for that context that is incredibly helpful. What is it that needs to happen in you to become what I would say wholehearted?
Yeah, I don't know. It's I feel like I feel like I have to get out of my own way a little bit, and I don't know if I like hold on too tightly to the idea of something, right? And it's like that the tension of being versus doing, and you need both of those things, but I think it's a scarcity mindset is what has to get out of the way, honestly. Like, those are that goes gets back to those narratives I was mentioning, those, lines that kind of keep going in my head. Too old, failure, like leads to shame, life events happen even this past week that, are normal things, car breaking down, those types of things, right? But they just feed into like the, oh, like this is never going to work. Like I can't get out of this. Some financial piece and some like health pieces, kind of all layering on, right? We're complex people. And so those things layer on. So again, I can name those different life domains and I can even, talk about them, but I can't seem to get out of the mud.
Where did you learn a scarcity mindset, from your mom or your dad?
Yes. Yeah. So, I think certainly looking back, I could see that pattern, with my mom. It was just my mom and I for between 0 and 10. We had quite an interesting life. We, as an example, when I was old enough to wear a backpack with diapers, and walk. Old enough just to walk and wear a backpack full with diapers, we hitchhiked from upstate New York, where I live, all the way to I believe it was Colorado. And that's a trek, let me tell you. That's a long. I mean, it was like late 70s, so yeah, I guess you could still hitchhike, but that was interesting. And yeah, I saw a pattern of, kind of unhealthy conflict with when my mom got married to my stepdad, challenges around finances, certainly, right? Paycheck to paycheck. My stepdad was a contractor, and so money was like boo, 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 like a roller coaster, many times without, and so on. So yeah, I think I saw those patterns overall, on many levels.
What becomes possible if you see the trek from New York to Colorado through an abundance, perseverance, hope lens?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I do see a lot of those things in my life over the years as formational and foundational to, on so many levels. In my years as a social worker, being able to connect with a lot of, like, for example, youth and adolescents who are, dealing with a lot of emotional abuse, neglect, right? Like, so as a counselor, I was able to connect. When I was a pastor, same thing, right? Like, I can deeply resonate with people's stories. I naturally I'm like safe and able to emotionally empathize and connect, right? So I have seen how God has used those pieces, and how God is, there's no, somebody said there's no testimony without a test, right? Like, so I've seen those tests as, foundational and formational and overall like a blessing. And so it's weird that like I can understand that and I can see that and I can see, how God strengthens me through that. I mean, even my work in social work with communities, for example, I'll give you a kind of an antidote. I actually led a poverty reduction initiative for a local city here. It was a 2-year project state funded. And the irony of that project was that I used to live in the neighborhood. This was when I was like early 20s. I wasn't in college. All I was trying to do was be a rock star, and I was working and living in the same building. On the bottom floor, I was a dental technician, but it's a dental laboratory, not like a dental office. And on the top floor, I had an apartment because my boss let me rent it out. And so fast forward a number of years later, went to college, all that stuff. I'm back and we're serving this community, this neighborhood where, I used to live and not make great money and, trying to figure out my life struggling. I think the irony there is on many levels, but I was able to really connect, right? So people would see me just coming from nowhere into the neighborhood, like, who's this guy, And in any kind of community change work, you need trust, right? The saying is that community change, any kind of change, but happens at the speed of trust. So I would have to find myself having to share my story quite a bit about, hey, I like, not only did I not grow up too far from here, but I actually lived here in this neighborhood and connect that way. But anyway, the point is that that would allow me some engagement, right? And some opportunity and building trust.
All right, let me take pause inventory just of where we're at in our conversation. This idea around limitless potential in the next 90 days. Based on what you've heard and or even learning about yourself in this conversation, where do you want to try to aim the remaining part of our time together?
I don't know. It's almost very practical and selfish, but like one level of what I think about is, in terms of the limits. Just speaking out loud for a second, narrative wise, helps me. I have this idea that if I just start getting in the right rooms and right connections, and that then the opportunities will come more. When I say opportunities, I mean like, yeah, coaching, speaking, business opportunities essentially. And not really sure how to phrase that as a question, but like, that's one thing I think is I don't know if it's a barrier, but an opportunity. It's like, how do I just start to get in the right rooms and make those right connections relationally, and then, ones that potentially are intentional and wise to build connections with,
Right.
like collaborations, podcasts, those types of things. Not sure if that's where you're expecting I was going to go, but that's what came to mind.
No, let's go there. I want to make an observation first, if you're good with that.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if this happened after I hit record twice, but I know it's happened twice in our conversation. When you say selfishly, what do you mean by that? And here's the question behind the question. It seems like it's hard for you to ask for what you want because you kind of paraphrase whatever you're trying to ask for with this selfish mindset. I don't want to be selfish mindset, but right, I'm trying to figure out how to get in the right rooms.
I think
What
two,
is
yeah.
that about?
A couple of things probably are going on. One is I've been in a lot of conversations where, for example, a friend who is overseas was the president and CEO of a large international NGO nonprofit.
Sure.
And I was connected with the organization. Long story short, there was a lot of great conversations about, hey, I need you on the team, need to bring you. And there's a lot of that that's happened over the years where it's all been like let down, let down, let down, let down. So I think my guard's always up a little bit, because every time I see any kind of like a little ray of hope, I'm like, eh, it's going to crash and burn again, So I don't know if it's self-sabotaging or if it's, yeah, it's a shell, it's a guard. I think that's one level. Level two, not in depth or anything, but just the second thing observation is that just like me personally talking to you, I'm probably putting that guard up as well in terms of not wanting to impose or overstep, and being trying to be cognizant of that. And so maybe it's a bit of self-humility, false humility almost in a way.
What would it sound like now that you've kind of heard yourself say that? How would you begin to rephrase or reframe what you want the last part of this conversation to sound like?
Dude, help me do what you're doing. That's it. That's it.
So you want to, I mean, right, nobody heard this at the beginning. You want to be able to coach executive faith-driven leaders, business owners, entrepreneurs, people.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. That's it's just, I think it's a sweet spot for me. I have seen some success already. It's every time I try to get too far into just nonprofit or just business side, which I love, I can't not bring the faith side in, right? And so kind of faith-driven leaders in general, entrepreneurs, love it. Like I just think that's such a sweet spot for me. You know, I've connected with a lot of those groups. I don't want to take us off track here, but from a network standpoint, you know, I was able to go through Proxys, for example. Proxys, their summer academy, not the full accelerator, but their academy, connected with, not, you know, faith-driven entrepreneur, those kinds of things. So so I see those opportunities, and you know, I think it's really exciting. But yeah, look, I feel like, back to, I feel a little bit stuck, and certainly some of that mindset stuff. And then how do I make it happen?
Sure. So let's put a game plan together for the next 90 days.
Okay.
How many I won't let's co-create this together. How many reasonable bullet points or goals can you have around this idea of coaching faith-driven executives?
Can you just phrase it a different way? I'm not
How
sure
many
here.
reasonable goals are attainable in the next 90 days?
I mean, probably three or four.
Okay. So let's name those. Let's just keep it at three. Let's name in particular what those three goals are.
All right. So I have a website all wireframed up and maybe 80% there. I have been using LinkedIn to start to send messages to people to just say hello, connecting with my network that I already have, to announce or share or just do catch up, and then, you know, add in like, hey, you know, I've been doing a little bit of this on the side, you know, I'm trying to ramp it up. And I've sent probably, I don't know, in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, only about, under, probably 10 or just under 10 of those type of LinkedIn or email messages. Fortunately, I can't use LinkedIn right now promotionally because of work. The other thing I've been doing is writing an email newsletter specifically for that audience through Substack. So that's going out once a week, every Saturday. Been pretty consistent with that. So that would be a goal that continues anyway. Yeah, I think I'm probably at three already, but like the website would be one. Leveling up the outreach side, big time, and then consistent with that newsletter. Sorry, maybe one
If
more thing that
no,
I have done too
yeah, go for it.
is just listing like the coaching kind of products, quote unquote, I have. I was listening to Don Miller's stuff, and he was like, "Hey, just list like the products that you sell." So I've been doing that.
if you, I'm gonna jump into one of those when specifically when you're messaging on LinkedIn, what's the ask? What's the ask that you're going for?
It's well the maybe the yeah what recently what it's been is just to mostly well it depends on which if it's like somebody who I know or not, right? So if it's somebody I know, I get more to the point of, hey, trying to build this out, love to reconnect. If it's somebody outside of my network but through LinkedIn, then it's more get to know you. Maybe I'll reference like I'm doing some work in this space. I love what you're doing. I'm trying to add a little bit more personalization to the, that connection of, for example, I listened to the podcast or I read your, newsletter or I heard something that you said. Love to talk about it more.
Okay. And so let's jump to the end of the 90 days. What would make this exponentially like, man, that almost scares me. Like feels like I'm standing on the edge of the cliff thinking about this goal. So right, website comes together, you make these outreach, the email's going great, but you're standing at the end of edge of the cliff in 90 days, and you're like, man, I can't believe all this has happened. Like, there's just limitless potential out on the horizon, right?
Yeah.
But what is that? What is like? What is it that you see?
What is it? Yeah. So those outreach emails and stuff, ideally turning into more discovery calls, that would be a piece. But then, if I could like get to three extra $1,000 a month right now with clients, that would be amazing as a start. Obviously, because I do work full time, I need to fold it all in.
Sure.
But yeah, if I could get to, some retainers at like three, even 1,000 a month per client, right? So like $3,000 a month per cl for total, that would be amazing.
How does that feel inside when you say that?
It's a mix of. It sounds so easy, it's like 3,000 a month, like three clients. It sounds so easy. And like I look at the track record over this first quarter, I'm like, I have not even signed one client this quarter, in Q1. So it looks like a chasm as well. It's like both.
So I'm a few steps ahead of you. And so let me ask, because just based on our time constraints, how can I be most useful right now? Because I think as far as goals and timelines and things, you'll continue to figure those things out, right? But how can I most be useful to you right now?
Well, I'd probably not in outside of this call, but it would be, I'd love to learn, a little bit about like what you've been doing to kind of level up your brand, your personal platform. I mean, I can kind of case study from the outside. And then I'm incorporating Giant into my toolkit. So, I think I have a pretty solid toolkit now put together. So again, it's back to the opportunities. Like, yeah, you have guys, people, anybody who's like, I could be on their podcast or, from a scarcity mindset, it's like I'm trying to do the same things and with the same crowd. So again, maybe I'm cognizant of that, but yeah, I'm looking for invites to share some of the stuff that I'm working on idea wise. I do a lot around this idea of live by design. That's for another time, because I'm trying to do that personally. So, getting in some of those rooms, I guess that would be the ask.
Well, it's what is there, 7 plus billion people on the earth. There's
That
more than enough to go around in the faith-driven executive business coaching, for sure. I mean, there's enough to go around probably just in your New York area alone. Like, how are you in New York? Are you upstate New York? Are you like,
Yeah, we're in, I'm in Albany, which is a capital area.
yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, I'm trying to slow down my brain and my question asking just to figure out the landscape of where we're at in this conversation. What, Dylan, is keeping you from having the confidence to make bold, aggressive proposals to have $3,000 a month right now?
I'm not sure. I think I want to def I want to default to excuses is the problem, you know? That's what's probably the issue. And they can all be legitimate, but they're, you know, but it's crap at the same time.
Sure.
And so I don't know. I don't even know. I don't have a good answer. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't have the answer for
So let me ask a Enneagram 4 question. All right. What, let's go back to your story. What is beautiful about your story and about the pain of going from New York to Colorado? And how do you leverage that story to take up more space in the world?
I think there's a theme in that story that I've seen throughout my life of not just resiliency, that's part of it, but like more like adventure. What's interesting is we ended up in Estes Park, Colorado, and I'm not sure if you've been there, but got to go. I've been back. I went with a bunch of city leaders, gospel city leaders. Have you been to Scott Beck's their place at all? It's amazing. This is a guy who, like, you know, was one of the co-founders of Blockbuster and, like, you know, anyway, beautiful, beautiful place. And that was a full circle moment, even that going back, spending time with a bunch of people and going, like I felt like I should move to Colorado after that trip, you know. But anyway, the point is that I think there's a piece of adventure there as well. And I've actually added adventure into one of my personal core values. And I take my last name and just created some values, family values. And adventure is one, but it's not just adventure like going to Colorado. It's like how to see adventure in everyday life, and embrace that, which is needs you need courage to use the word you just used a few minutes ago. You need, there's risk, right? On the flip side of that risk, just in the last few minutes here, I had a 10-month window where I was let go of a startup I was working at, and in God's sovereignty, it was amazing that we had sold our house at that time. And on purpose to move in with my in-laws so we could save some dollars to buy another house back near where we used, where we both grew up, my wife and I. Wasn't expecting to get, you know, fired or laid off or whatever, but that's what happened. And I had 10 months, and that was like the super, like, okay, God, this must be time, and I'm gonna double down on this thing. And you know, so many amazing things happened, you know, during that time in terms of God's provision and sovereignty and like even dollars coming through. But it still didn't work out, you know, like it's still like, oh, I'm out of my runway closed. And I was gonna careen off if I didn't you know, get the next job. And so it felt like an ultimate failure, even though at the same time it was an amazing adventure, and God, I did see God all through every step of the way, right? And so I feel like that's part of the story, is kind of the tension and the wrestle is like, yeah, God, like I, yeah, totally believe, like, you know, well, like, but it really hasn't worked out.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't know, put the guard up, or, you know, get distracted with shiny object syndrome, or, you know, yeah, looking around too much at other people, like, man, how are they doing it? Like I can totally do that. Like, I've been in the room, I've seen where I can do that. You know, I want that to fuel I want that to fuel my, optimism and not, you know, pessimism, you know?
What's been most helpful, useful, what in our conversation, and in particular, even somewhere at the beginning part of that, the last answer to my question, it seemed like your countenance was a little bit different. Your posture was a little bit different.
I think it's, yeah, it's just, I mean, one, I appreciate, you know, your time. I appreciate you asking me the questions. I know the questions to ask myself, but when somebody else asks you them, it's much more powerful. It helps. What's helpful is that it makes me process and process out loud, and then have to work through the blocks, the barriers, but then also the potential breakthroughs and, you know, opportunities. And so, yeah, just simply, you know, questions and answering gets me outside of myself a little bit. And it does help me lift my eyes, so to say, a little bit back to, you know, back to like North Star, in a way.
I'm going to land the plane per se. And I want to hear what you're taking away, but my wisdom, like, right, if I'm sitting on the other side of you, just some things to be aware about is one, tap into the truest part of like that Enneagram 4, right? You're courageous. You have a huge heart, but tap into that experience of the beautiful part of your pain without focusing on the pain, right? Tap into the beautiful part of that resilient story, and letting go of the heartache that it's caused. And the second part of, we talked about it, would be just taking up more space and unapologetically asking for what you want. And the last thing is, you just mentioned the shiny object syndrome, right? I've fallen prey to it. It's super easy to fall prey to in any marketing endeavor, in any entrepreneurial endeavor, is that ultimately, like, if I'm seeking to coach people, if you're seeking to coach people, the only way to grow that is by coaching people. So the bold ask has to be, would you be willing to have a coaching conversation over and over and over? And I think there's some unique ways that you could play with that in the sandbox of just allowing people to say, like, hey, I'm still experimenting with this, and I'm trying to put in the reps at the gym. Would you be willing to come and put in some reps with me, at a very low barrier, no entry? Or if you want to make a bold proposal, go for the bold proposal, but allow that sense of resiliency, that sense of adventure, to have fun with it. And invite other people into that, because that's, I've been there. I've done the emails, I've done the podcast, I've done all the things. And the only way that you grow a coaching business is through coaching people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. My last piece on context is, through my full-time here, I'm doing coaching and consulting with nonprofits and nonprofit leaders. So it's good. It's a, you know, certainly a blessing, because not only can you continue to, you know, hone in your craft and skills, but yeah, I'm coaching people essentially, right? So that's been a good piece of that process.
Dylan, what's your takeaways from today? And in particular, what does that mean for 90 days?
Yeah, I think on the practical side, you know, Shared those kind of the business development side, the contacting people, that's fine. But I think I really, the big one is that continuing, like, tap into your truest part of your wiring, who you are, and the unapologetically asking piece, I think, are the biggest two for me that I want to lean into and think about a lot. I have like a life plan where I put a lot of this stuff in, like how am I uniquely wired, and I've been trying to make a habit of revisiting that quite a bit. Yeah, I think those are the two big pieces that I'll push into even more is the
So,
ask as well.
Dylan, it's been my pleasure and my honor to lock arms with you today. If you're willing, I'd love to hear from you in, say, like 48 hours of any other new insights and just shoot me a message, and I'll be cheering you on.
Great to meet you, man. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely.
Very, very blessed.
Absolutely, brother. Well, I will see you in the LinkedIn world and have a great
All
rest of your afternoon.
right, Lance, take care.
All
Bye.
right. Bye, Dylan. Thank you, friends, for being here today. My name is Lance Howard, business coach and leadership development for high-level faith-driven leaders. My goal is your flourishing, and my approach to developing executive leaders integrates the maximization of hope, gaining an outside perspective, devising practical strategies, and implementing measured discipline. This is all done with warm accountability aimed at achieving your desired outcomes. When you're making large financial decisions that impacts years of life, you need a trusted advisor to help guide you and to make a wise decision. What is executive business coaching? Effective coaching is pragmatic and outcome focused. It flows naturally according to your goals. It is conversational and rich with thought-provoking discussion. Picture it as a meaningful board meeting, an insightful chat with a close friend, a day of profound reflection, a session to recalibrate, and a stimulating brainstorming experience. It's both enjoyable and profound, tiring yet invigorating. Above all, it's having a trusted advisor right there beside you. My goal is your flourishing, to help you work less, earn more, and get back to what you love in life and in business. Now, when you're ready to have someone ride co-pilot with you on your leadership journey and business development, I would be honored to have a conversation with you to explore what it would look like for us to partner together for your flourishing. Peace and courage to you on your journey. I look forward to hearing from you soon.